League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome to the Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers lead it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots it. Score. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket, and you are listening to Drive Time with Mike Miller. Sitting in for Mr. Miller is myself. My name is Nick Swatala, and I will be taking you to just a couple of minutes shy of the top of the hour. This program always driven by the Low Payment King. His name is Ralph Mahalik. Stop into the Monroe Superstore today to find a great deal on a Monroe Dodge used vehicle, or you can hop online and visit MonroeDodge.com. Excuse me, Frank Organo is producing today's program. He's pushing the buttons back at the studio, and I am broadcasting live here from the Monroe Superstore. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday, the 20th day of April, the year 2017. 50 minutes probably won't be enough to squeeze in all of the big sports topics that need to be addressed, but we will do the best we can. And before we get into tonight, let's talk about last night. There was a lot going on, of course. The Washington Capitals in a true do it or don't do it, put up or shut up playoff season, brand new season, if you will, against Toronto, down in the series 2-1. They prevailed on the road last night, winning 5-4. And that was a game that they absolutely had to have, especially with the playoff history in Washington and what that history has had to say with Washington. Not a lot of winning. It's been a lot of losing, a lot of underachieving, a lot of big-time, great regular season showings. But now the Capitals finally have an opportunity to bounce back and, like I said, put up or shut up, the clear-cut favorite to win it all. And last night was a must-win because, let's face it, if they go down 3-1 last night, probably not going to get the job done against a pesky Toronto team. Not a true number 8 seed, but due to the playoff format, definitely a little bit of a fishy matchup there for Washington. You can ask Columbus fans about that, as they've had to put up with Pittsburgh. They have Game 5 tonight on the road in Pittsburgh. And it's, again, a do-it-or-die situation for the Blue Jackets as they are facing elimination. We'll be talking to Allison Lucan, the Columbus Blue Jackets beat writer, about that game tonight, and plenty more going on in the NHL. Of course, two series deadlocked at two, that being San Jose and Edmonton, and the Rangers are visiting Montreal to try to break that 2-2 series tie as well. So two teams also on the brink of elimination. I just mentioned one of them, that being the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're on the road again tonight, and Chicago Blackhawks down 3-0 against Nashville. Who saw that coming? I sure didn't. Although I did not have the Chicago Blackhawks representing the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup Final this year, I certainly did not foresee this taking place at the hands of Pete LaViolette and the Nashville Predators. But the Blackhawks, I know I've heard a couple people talk about today regarding the Minnesota Wild and Bruce Boudreau with him having no luck in the past with first-round playoff appearances. Maybe they can come back from the 3-0 deficit they won last night to extend the series to at least a fifth game against the St. Louis Blues. A lot of people talking about the Wild being a team that can come back from a 3-0 deficit. Of course, they got another, at least one more game at home, maybe two. I've already lost two home games. That's rare for Minnesota. Well, I'm looking at the Chicago Blackhawks as that team that's going to bounce back from the 3-0 deficit. Of course, they haven't played. You can argue that Minnesota's even played a little bit better at times than St. Louis, just have been on the bottom end of the stick. You cannot say the same about the Chicago Blackhawks. The goaltending was there in Game 1, but hasn't been sensational by any stretch of the imagination throughout the series. Kane, Taves have not delivered. Keith hasn't delivered. Power play, when given the opportunity, hasn't delivered at most times. So the Blackhawks, it's hard to sit here and nitpick your way to dreaming of a situation where they get to a Game 7, but because of their championship history, believe me, I'm not a guy that likes to sit on the couch and watch the Chicago Blackhawks win cup after cup 3 and 6 years here and there, but let's be honest, they are still a team formulated of championship substance. And with that said, thinking about Keith, thinking about Kane, Taves, the goaltender Crawford, a lot of people, he's had his naysayers in the past, but he has hoisted the cup several times, has Crawford. I really do think the Blackhawks at least force a Game 7. I think they get things going tonight in Nashville. It's going to be a tough place to play. Of course, the arena's going to be rocking. That first line for the Predators has been nonstop since the get-go. And ever since the Predators locked down Chicago in that Game 2 at the United Center in Chicago, it seems as if maybe Chicago would respond okay in Game 3. They did for the majority of Game 3. But then they let one go towards the end of regulation, excuse me, and of course into overtime it went, and off Nashville went with a 3-0 series lead. So we'll see how that plays out tonight. Definitely going to have my eye on the Blackhawks. Certainly going to have my eye on the Blue Jackets as they again look to avoid elimination against the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's tough situation for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Of course, we're going to dive right into this with Allison Lucan here in just a couple minutes. She's a great beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets on BlueJackets.com. But when you have 108 points, first 100-point season in the team's history, I think this is the third playoff appearance for the Blue Jackets. You have an opportunity to at least get out of the first round, get yourself a playoff series win. And I know it's not a make-it-or-break-it year like it is for the Washington Capitals. However, with the Blue Jackets, it's so difficult to go through a big season like they did, a 16-game winning streak, all the positives. They got bounce-back years from guys like Bobrovsky and Foligno and all the young talent that they have. I mean, a 19-year-old defenseman, the Wierenski kid, who was sensational all year, out for the season due to the facial fracture, just suffered a couple of nights ago. But everything that they've accomplished this year, to go face a Pittsburgh Penguin team in round one, some fans are going to love the playoff format and some fans won't. And I don't think it would be arguable to say that many of the, if not all, of the Columbus Blue Jacket fan base is not pleased to be facing this Pittsburgh Penguin team that's, let's be honest, faster, more talented, more experienced, better are the Pittsburgh Penguins, and Columbus has a tall task at hand. I thought the series was going to go 7 from the get-go. I thought it was going to be Pittsburgh in 7. Not saying it can't go 7, but to dream of the Blue Jackets winning this series is hard to imagine, certainly. But they did get the win on home ice. Tortorella said he wanted to get one, and that's what they got. Now they got to go get two and take it one game at a time. Now, plenty obviously going on with the NHL last night and tonight to look forward to, but then there's the NBA as well. And one of the reasons why I start off with the NHL over the NBA is because I just haven't been into the NBA first-round playoffs. I don't know what it is. You know, a lot of people have shown disinterest in the NBA. However, it's hard to say just because it's inevitable that you look at a Cavs-Warriors Round 3 finals matchup, because I do think that's what it's going to be. However, I don't really resort to that. I know a lot of people dislike the NBA more so because of the quote-unquote super teams that are formulated, but you know, I've had that defense as well, but then when I look back and I see LeBron James in 6 straight finals, you always knew the Heat were going to the finals. Back in the day, although the game was better, more defense, you always knew the Pistons were going to the Eastern Conference Finals 6 years in a row. You always knew they were going to be in it. You go to the 90s, Jordan was winning 6 championships. You always knew they were going to be in it. 80s before the Pistons time, and 80 to 88, always knew it was going to be the Lakers and the Celtics. And then before that, Bill Russell wins 11 championships in 13 seasons. So to say that the predetermined finals matchup is the reason why I'm lacking a little interest in this first-round playoffs might be a little, I don't want to lean towards that but I think a lot of it has to do with the way the game is played. No defense whatsoever. I mean, I'm looking at the Cavs playing their games, and yeah, they've escaped for the first two. They got game three in Indianapolis tonight against the Pacers. But there's just been no defense played whatsoever. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is getting technical fouled for sending DeMar DeRozan's layup across the border the other night. Then he gets teed up for throwing a fist pump to his bench out of excitement. I mean, that's just not playoff basketball. I like defense. I like hard nose. I like the referees to let him play. So until we see that Cavaliers-Warriors finals matchup, maybe a little San Antonio Golden State Western Conference final, I'm not going to get too worked up in what I already think is going to be a Washington Cleveland final in the Eastern Conference. I'm not going to get too worked up in the NBA. I'm much more focused in game fours and game fives in Toronto, Maple Leafs Caps, Blue Jackets Pens. That's a little bit more excitement for me right now, but nevertheless, the Cavs do look to take a commanding 3-0 series lead. Other than that, what's going on in the Diamond? Tigers lose their third straight, get swept out of Tampa Bay. They lose 8-1 today. Cleveland does get a win, 6-2 on the road in Minnesota. We're going to touch a lot on baseball here after the 5:32-5:33 break here on Drive Time. You're listening to 106.5 The Ticket. Coming up right after a short break, Allison Lucan of Columbus Blue Jackets joins us to talk Game 5 tonight in Pittsburgh. We'll be back after a short break.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
Mike Miller's out today, but sitting in for he is me. And my name is Nick Swatala, here sitting in live from the Monroe Superstore. Got an exciting show for you today. Going to be talking a lot of playoff hockey, a little more playoff basketball to get into, even what took place on the Diamond this afternoon. But now, joining us on the program is an extremely talented freelance writer, one who covers the Columbus Blue Jackets. Her name is Allison Lucan. She is on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Vito's Pizza locations or online at vitos.com. Allison, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the time before puck drop tonight. How are things?
I'm good. Thanks for having me back. You're going to make me hungry for pizza before we're done today.
I know, right? Yeah, you're a friend of the program now, so you're probably getting that crave every time you come on. Allison, Jackets coming off a 5-4 win on home ice, brink of elimination, now on their way to Pitt for Game 5. Last game, Crosby, no shots. I think he had a -3 rating. You're not going to probably get that again tonight. So what do you expect on the ice tonight from the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, I think it's going to be another hard-fought game. I think this is a Jackets team now that knows that they've been doing the right things and they can actually get the results. They're obviously on the road again, so they're not going to get as favorable of matchups as they were able to get when they were playing at home. So I think that they're going to come out hard. I think they have a really good shot, and I think as long as Bobrovsky can stand tall in net, we might be headed back to Columbus for Game 6.
One thing I noticed about watching a little bit of the series, I haven't been following it super closely, but one thing I noticed from Game 1 and to even what transpired in the Game 4 win, not as much physical play. I know there's been a couple big hits here and there, but one thing I noticed in that Game 1, the Blue Jackets came out on their toes firing at Crosby and Malkin and Kelso. Do you expect a little more of the physicality to pick up tonight due to the difference of matchups?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is a team that wants to be physical, but they want to be physical the right way. They want to have hits that are driving the Penguins off the puck, keeping them away from the puck, and not just hitting the hit. They want to be going after the puck, not just the opponent. And they also really want to stay away from some of the physical stuff that's happening, what they say, between the whistles. One of the interesting things that Josh Anderson said yesterday is that that might be something the Penguins were kind of trying to goad the guys into early and perhaps draw a penalty. So I think they're going to play physical. That is how this team plays, but they're going to play smart physically.
We're talking to Allison Lucan here on 106.5 The Ticket. Playing physical against a team, let's be honest, that's probably a little faster than Columbus, that being Pittsburgh, definitely a major facet of this series. But one thing that might be the biggest of them all, you already mentioned it, Bobrovsky standing tall. Do they need that? I mean, they essentially need that to win the series. Columbus, I mean, a crazy stat I saw today, allowing at least 3 goals in all 14 playoff games of their team history. You got to imagine Bobrovsky's going to have to pitch a shutout or two in order to at least force a Game 7, right?
Yeah, I mean, your good goaltenders, they're going to come up and they're going to steal a game for you, and that's something that Bob is definitely going to have to do in this series. But I think he's, you know, he is one of the most strong mentally players, perhaps not just on this team, but in the league. And if he can get completely back on his A-plus game, I mean, he can be the difference maker in a win versus a loss.
Definitely a bounce-back year for Bob Brodsky. Another guy who had a bounce-back year was Nick Foligno. I know he was on pace really the whole year to have a solid campaign, a lot better than the one he had in 15 and 16. And you remember them all, 14 and 15, had a great year, had a big play, had a game winner against Pittsburgh on home ice in the playoffs. Quiet last year, back this year. What do you have to say about Nick Foligno and his impact in this series going forward? Been a little quiet thus far.
Yeah, he's been a little quiet on the score sheet, but they've also been moving him around on the lines a little bit, and I think that he continues to play solid within his style of play. I think it's been fun to watch both him and then the other big difference maker who had the other game winner back in the last playoff series is Matt Calvert, and that's a mm-hmm. player who has really played so well this series. He had an unfortunate one-game suspension, missed game three, but was playing some of his best hockey, according to Tortorella, in games one and two, and had a goal and came back and was a huge part of shutting down the Crosby line in game four. So I think guys like that are also part of making the difference between a win and a loss.
Allison Lucan joining us on Drive Time. Allison, talk a little bit about the impact of John Tortorella. He's been getting high praise throughout the whole year, deservedly so. But then, you know, before the Game 4 victory, he just comes out and says a simple quote, go out and win one game. And a lot of people may have, you know, it's easy to take that the wrong way, but he just wanted these kids to get a taste of victory and maybe propel them to take it one game at a time. Talk about what Tortorella can bring to the table for this young team. This team has not won a playoff series as a whole in the franchise. What can John Tortorella do for this team going forward, not just in this series, but beyond?
Yeah, I think first to answer this part of the season question, I think what he brings is confidence and trust from his team. He is part of the equation of why this team has been successful, challenging them to play a different way and giving them the trust that they earned in terms of taking over this team and taking back the locker room. So I think that when he says something to them, he has their confidence that he knows what he's talking about. I mean, this is a guy who has won a Stanley Cup with another young team when he was with the Tampa Bay Lightning. So mm-hmm. I think for the short term, there's definitely that. And I think for the long term, you know, again, I think it's more of the same. I think that when you have someone come in who has proven that they can bring winning to a city, he's going to continue to do that as this team matures. And he's such a great ambassador for the game. So I think in terms of also building up support for this organization in the community and building the fan base, he's a huge part of that for the Jackets.
Tortorella spoke very highly of Zach Werenski. Of course, Werenski suffering the facial fracture, and I'm not going to paint the picture just like Tortorella did following that game where describing Werenski's gut after that game. But talk a little bit about the significance of that Werenski injury. Of course, the kid's, 19, 20 years old, and he's been sensational from day one for him. And just talk about the significance of losing the blue liner for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a huge loss. You know, in part of those post-game comments you're referring to, Tortorella has also called Zach perhaps the best player on the team, which is very mm-hmm. high praise for a 19-year-old rookie. And you're going to, of course, miss his mobility on the back end. You're going to miss his calm. You're going to miss his ability to transition and be part of the offensive side of the game as well as the defensive. But what I like is how Tortorella responded. He changed up that third pair, brought Kyle Quincy back into the lineup and paired him with Seth Jones, and those two played quite well together, in fact. So it is a loss. There's no way you can replace a Zach Werenski, but I really like how kind of a reassembled blue line responded there in Game 4.
And that's exactly what Tortorella brings to the table. Of course, Quincy, a little bit of a quiet trade deadline acquisition, you know, didn't make a big splash, but when they were sitting where they were sitting, of course, fresh off the 16-game win streak and really pushing for that number one seed, you can leave it to Tortorella to mix things up. So it's clear Tortorella wants the players to be proud, but what about the fans? I mean, this is a team, because of the playoff format, you have a 108-point season. First time in franchise history it's been crossed into the century mark in points,
yeah,
as far as points are concerned. It'd be crazy to dissect whether the season's a success or a failure, because it's a complete success. But if the Jackets don't get out of the series, how are the fans going to take it?
Yeah, I think that is exactly part of what fed into Tortorella's comments going into Game 4. And you mentioned it as well. This is a group not just of players but of the entire Jackets community that for what they accomplished on the ice this year, they deserved a win. They've earned that with what they've done. So I think that if this team can't get out of the first round, I think that after perhaps some initial pain and recovery of feeling really, really down about that, I think that people are going to be able to have some perspective and look at what this team did this year. And I also think that this year, when we talk about 3, 4, 5 years down the road, this is the year that people are going to point to when this team really started to turn the corner for the long term. This is going to be the beginning of the window of success.
Sure, and it's easy to point out this year. I think they were the 27th best team in the league last year, and now they're you know, going into the playoffs. Yeah. Of course, it's tough to beat. Of course, they were an underdog with Pittsburgh, but you know they're one of the top five Stanley Cup favorites coming in. Is that right?
Absolutely, and you know it certainly doesn't make it okay, but a lot of the top teams are struggling. I mean, Washington was down to Toronto until just yesterday. Chicago hasn't won a game, so the top five teams are all kind of struggling. This is not a Jackets phenomena, if you will.
That's exactly it. And Allison, you know the sport. I mean, Bobrovsky stands tall. You never know what can happen, especially if there's a Game 6 in Columbus in front of that that Rockin' Arena there they have in the new and improved downtown Columbus right there by the Arena District. So, hey, I know you got to run. You're in Pitt, ready to cover the game. Thanks a lot for taking some time, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks so much. You guys have a great rest of the show.
Appreciate it, Allison. That's Allison Lucan, a beat writer, talented beat writer for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, again, the Blue Jackets, once again, on the brink of elimination. That puck drop is tonight in Pittsburgh, 7 o'clock, and it's going to be a doozy. And in Columbus, it's all about one game at a time, and that might be a little bit harder to stress on the younger population, more so than the veterans who have been there and done that. But as we mentioned, John Tortorella, if there's one guy, a group of guys, maybe 3 to 5 guys you want behind the bench, it's John Tortorella certainly going to be one of them, especially how he has handled this nice blend of really superstar young talent that can be superstar talent in the future with a nice blend of third and fourth liners such as Gagne, Hartnell, and you got a nice backstop in Sergei Bobrovsky in the back. So we'll see what happens. I don't think the Blue Jackets win the series, but I certainly think forcing a Game 7 is not out of the equation, as I mentioned. I don't think it's arguable that Pittsburgh's better, faster, but when Columbus, as Ellison said, brings to the table the physicality to the table in necessary situations, not getting caught up in the extracurricular, not getting caught up in the retaliation, it's only going to take a goal or two, because that's the only chance, in my opinion, that this team has any life. And that's Bobrovsky, what would be for the first time in franchise history, the Blue Jackets allowing less than 3 goals in a playoff game. That has to be done tonight, in my opinion, for this series to continue. Short break coming up. Sports and weather, as always, brought to you by TAS Electronics. Traffic brought to you by Super Fitness Toledo. Hop online to visit superfitnesstoledo.com. We're talking baseball when we come back. Drive Time with Mike Miller sitting in. Nick Swatala, 106.5 The Ticket.
More of the best in local sports talk. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Broadcasting live from the Monroe Superstore. My name is Nick Swatala, hosting Drive Time this evening, always brought to you by the Low Payment King. He's sitting in the office right next to me. His name is Ralph Mahalik. Come on into the Monroe Superstore today or hop online, monroedodge.com. What a day, what a month in sports. The chance of We Want the Cup, the chance of MVP when your favorite player is on the charity stripe, whether it was Isaiah Thomas a couple of nights ago. Celtics are struggling. They're not going to get out. I don't think they're going to get out of that series now, facing off against a dysfunctional Chicago Bulls team that didn't even deserve to be in the playoffs. But they are in, and they are ready to take that 1-versus-8 matchup, are the Chicago Bulls. But it's a wonderful time of year, nevertheless. And look at this. We're only 1 week away from the NFL draft, and we've touched on this a little bit. We've talked a little Cleveland Browns with Tony Grossi about a month ago regarding that number one pick, and even the pick that they have at number 12, what they're going to do. And the fact that they're even considering going Mitchell Trubisky over Myles Garrett is the most Cleveland Brown-esque debate, dilemma, problem you could think of. And although I imagine they will end up inserting that card with Myles Garrett's name on it, Browns fans should be nervous, especially when they're talking about drafting a guy over Garrett who very well could be available at number 12. But reports are today they might be trading that number 12 up to go get Trubisky after Garrett. So we'll see what happens. I don't think that they're that clueless, but we'll see. It's the Browns. You don't know. I wouldn't put any money on them taking Garrett because you just never know. Of course, we talked in to the little Detroit Lions as well. We had Paula Pasch on a couple weeks ago talking what they're going to do at 21. You know, we dove into the whole Jabril Peppers possibility. It's just not going to happen. I was thinking Taco Charlton. I was thinking help at linebacker, like actual linebackers, not Jabril Peppers, but also cornerback help. The Lions could go so many directions, and with their upgraded offensive line, they could go weapons on the outside, such as John Ross if he falls, such as Mike Williams if he falls, Dalvin Cook, perhaps when he falls due to the reports this week, but this stuff interchanges day in and day out. So Lions, Browns, we even had Chris Wormley on, who was a great guest here on Drive Time a couple weeks ago as well. So we've got into the NFL talk, and as you all know, it's never-ending, and also, the schedule's to be released tonight at 8 p.m. We already know what teams are playing who, but it's just a matter of when and what days of the week. We'll find out tonight, 8 p.m. So NFL off and running if it ever ended as far as a headline is concerned. And talking a little baseball now, we're going to get into the Detroit Tigers recap. This is brought to you by Reeb Funeral Home and the Detroit Tigers. For the first time in the 2017 campaign, were not only swept, but they lost the series. Or were not only losing a series, but they were swept. And that was in Tampa Bay at Tropicana Field against a pedestrian, at best, Tampa Bay Rays team. They lost today. You heard Frank in the break. 8-1. Norris, who looked sensational at Progressive Field last week, couldn't get out of the fifth inning. And, you know, looking at the loss last night, I'll take the first loss if you're a Tigers fan, if you follow the Tigers. You know, this ball club at one point, you know, second best record in the American League. I'm not going to put that in blinkers right now. It's the first few weeks of the season. It means nothing. But the point is that this team did not look like a 9-4, 8-4 baseball team. They're dead last in the league in bullpen ERA, team ERA, you name it, dead last pitching category. Starting pitching's been okay, but it's hard to back that up after Norris's performance today, as well as Zimmerman getting shelled, no thanks to his defense last night. No thanks to Verlander and Cleveland the other day. But being the worst team as far as ERA is concerned for the Tigers is the last thing they wanted, last thing they needed, last thing they could accept, because Alavila made no effort in the offseason to address the bullpen. And although I'm going to sit here and be the minority and say Francisco Rodriguez will finish the year as the Detroit Tigers closer, remember last year Rodriguez had a horrid April, bounced back with a solid May through September, and look, he wasn't a top three closer in the game, but he was adequate. He was a guy that had an ERA under 3 the rest of the way, maybe blew 5 saves out of 45 opportunities after a bad April. Is it going to happen again? I don't know, but he's a pro's pro. He's not 50. He's 30. I think he's 34, 35 is Frankie Rodriguez, and he's a guy that I believe can pitch without velocity. Another guy I thought could pitch without velocity was Anibal Sanchez, and I can't back up Anibal Sanchez anymore, and quite frankly, I cannot back up Alavila anymore for allowing Anibal Sanchez to be on this roster and allowing perhaps Joe Jimenez, perhaps the number one pitching prospect that could come out of the bullpen in years, maybe even decades, wasting his arm in Toledo in the minor leagues. And when Anibal Sanchez, it's time to cut bait with him, but they haven't done so yet. They refuse to put Shane Green in the Anibal Sanchez role, and as a result, they're almost blowing 7-1 leads in the ninth inning at Progressive Field. And I think that's a big problem for the Tigers. Like I said, there's so many signs that point to this team not being, you know, look, the season got off to a rosy start, but now we're seeing, not writing on the wall per se, that's a little bit of a strong cliche, but talking about this team being 8-7 now in a division that I expect to be full of parity throughout the rest of the 2017 baseball season. And by that, I mean, I think the division winner will be Cleveland, but I think the division winner is going to be 90 wins, 72 losses. I don't see Cleveland having over 100 wins. I don't see the Tigers having a miraculous 100-win season. No, I see it 90 wins winning the division, and I see 89 wins coming out of that same division, that being the Central, claiming what probably will be the second wild card, but maybe the first. And if you look at the division right now, although it's early, although it might not even be worth noting, it's just full of 8-7 and 7-7s. And basically what I'm saying is I don't think the White Sox and the Twins are going to be as bad as projected this upcoming season. A lot of young talent, We'll see what how life is on the bench there. I know the guy in Minnesota is a little, probably on the hot seat going into the year, but we'll see how things shake up in Minnesota and Chicago, because that, in my mind, plays a big role in exactly how things will shape up at the top half of the division, more so focusing on Kansas City, Detroit, and the American League favorite, that being the Cleveland Indians. So the Tigers coming off a bad series in Tampa Bay. The defense was awful. The bats really never woke up. They did a little bit last night, but games 1 and 3 in the series, not so much. The bullpen, still terrible. And watching that game last night, a lot of people blaming Iglesias. A lot of people blaming Kinsler. It's on Francisco Rodriguez. It's not a debate. It's not arguable. When you're throwing 86-mile-per-hour meatballs over the heart of the plate and you load the bases with nobody out, it's hard to blame what would have been considered a fifth or sixth defensive blunder the reason why you lost the game. Now, sure, you can go back in hindsight and look at the fifth and sixth innings, and Zimmerman didn't even pitch a bad game last night, in my opinion. But you look at his stat line, if you wake up this morning without watching the game, you're saying, wow, Zimmerman got shelled. What a bad signing. It's been miserable. Might be true. But the defense hasn't been there. The bats haven't been there. And it's going to be a streaky season. Get used to it. Tigers fans, Tigers followers, those who even follow the Indians are going to be paying attention to the Tigers and the Royals and so forth. It's going to be going on the rest of the season. And until Alavila wakes up and starts making some decisions that make a little more sense, such as keeping Joe Jimenez in the major leagues instead of wasting his arm against Syracuse in a doubleheader, it's going to be uneasy for Detroit Tigers fans, especially while they're losing 3 games in a row to the Tampa Bay Rays. Cleveland, on the other hand, they're getting back in the groove of things. As Frank mentioned, they just got the sweep against Minnesota, a team that Detroit's going to face tomorrow, starting a fresh set, fresh 3-game set. And Cleveland getting that sweep is big for them. Bats are waking up a little bit. They did so. All you had to do was bring in Anibal Sanchez in the last series. That's going to wake your bats up. And that's exactly what happened. And the Indians carry that over to Target Field in Minneapolis. And although every game does count, a lot of people's interest level isn't as high as it will be through June, July, August, and some even wait till the wild card and the division race heats up. But these games do matter in this division because, as I said, I think it's going to be a dogfight. I don't see Cleveland getting a big lead throughout the summer. Not because I don't think Cleveland can play great baseball, but I just think it's going to be a well-balanced division. Might not be a great division, but it'll be well-balanced. So there's the 2 cents regarding the Central Division and the Major League Baseball. A lot of storylines in the MLB thus far. You look at the top half of the divisions, bottom half of the divisions. I guess you could say the Tigers were a little surprised. You know, the rosy start in the first couple weeks, sure. But when you look at the St. Louis Cardinals and the Toronto Blue Jays, 2 teams that I had representing their leagues in the championship games this October, barring any injury, they're at the bottom of their division right now. I'm looking at Toronto with that sensational pitching staff that they have. After losing Encarnacion, you would have thought they would have come out, after looking at Estrada in the World Baseball Classic, you would have thought with Happ after the big year that they would be certainly the favorite to win the AL East, and although they still have plenty of ball ahead of them, 3-12, not ideal. Not ideal at all. Looking at the Toronto Blue Jays, and of course you have the Cincinnati Reds getting off to a little bit of a hot start, Yankees playing really good baseball, so a little bit of a different taste for baseball fans to kick off this baseball season in the year 2017. But a lot to look forward to, plenty of baseball to be played, and it just so happens that we are in the dead heart of the first round action, NHL and NBA, and a week away from the NFL draft. It doesn't get any better than this, sports. And this is Drive Time, hosted by Nick Switala. Today, sitting in for Mike Miller, you're listening on 106.5 The Ticket. After a short break, we're wrapping things up.
Sports Talk, it's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
We are back, and we are broadcasting live from the Monroe Superstore, home of the Low Payment King. His name is Ralph Mahalik. It's been a great, great program thus far, Drive Time with Mike Miller. Sitting in for Mike Miller again, my name, Nick Switala. Feel free to fire a tweet at me at @Nicholas_Swit. And we have dove into a variety of topics today, from the beginning to the end of the NHL playoffs, more so focusing on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Allison Lucan was kind enough to join us. She's pretty busy with puck drop right around the corner there in Pittsburgh. And, talking a little bit of the Caps-Leafs series. And, we did the baseball report, Tigers, Indians, Central Division. But back to the NBA. you know, early in the program, talking about the Cavaliers. Of course, they got Game 3 tonight at Bankers Life Fieldhouse against the Pacers, looking to take a commanding 3-0 series lead, and I think they're going to do it. The first two games, if you're a Cavs fan, look, I get it. I get Cavs fans, you know, not laying on a lawn chair loving life this summer. I get it. But when you talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, you have to realize that it is inevitable. It is predetermined that they will be facing the Western Conference champion, that being the Golden State Warriors, in this year's final. And a lot of people act like it's old, or act like it's a new thing, where like we know who's going to be playing in the finals. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I tweeted it earlier this month. I said, look, this NBA playoffs, aside maybe from the Jazz stealing a series against the Clippers, and maybe even the Thunder forcing maybe a Game 7 against Houston, maybe sneaking away with a series win, it's going to be all chalk. I certainly didn't see the Chicago Bulls going into Boston and you know, taking two games from the Boston Celtics in TD Garden. And although Isaiah Thomas dealing with the tragedy that he's gone through with losing his sister tragically, I don't even know if that's the excuse, because Boston collectively as a team just hasn't been there. So I admit it's not going to be all chalk. There's a darn good chance that the Celtics aren't going to win that series, and the Bulls are going to be, all of a sudden, might be a little bit of a dark horse to win the Eastern Conference as a whole. But Cavs fans, I get it. I mean, you have LeBron James for the first time in his career calling out his GM, that being David Griffin, begging for a quote-unquote playmaker. You have the Cavs finishing, I think it was 11-14 after the All-Star break. Little stretch where, you know, Golden State struggled without Durant, then Cousins goes to New Orleans. Everybody's talking about the Cavs and the Warriors potentially not meeting in the finals. But it's going to happen. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because it's been happening for quite some time. As I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, with LeBron making this, you know, 6 straight, soon to be 7 straight finals appearances, you know, when the Heat were going to the finals and the Pistons back, you know, going to the Eastern Conference finals, and the Bulls and Jordan and Bird and Johnson and Russell back in the day, it was almost always predetermined. But if you're a Cavs fan, I understand why you're a little worried, looking at a backcourt of John Wall and Bradley Beal, who I don't think stand a chance in the series against Cleveland, because both teams, neither team plays defense, and who wouldn't take a team full of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love and Jeffersons over Bradley Beal and John Wall and Marcin Gortat? My point is, relax, as the great Aaron Rodgers once said. I do think this is going to be a Cavs-Warriors final, and I'm going to go on a limb and say it's still going to be all chalk. I think the Celtics can come back and win the series. I think I'm a little late on saying the Thunder have a chance after last night, Westbrook's historic night. You know, we found out what Westbrook can do when he passes the ball to his teammates that are open, but when it's crunch time and Westbrook feels like that he has to get the job done, not the Thunder, but he has to get the job done, things usually go south for Russell Westbrook. Although he's a great player, Hall of Fame caliber, Thunder can't let him go. Preski can't let him go. But let's call it the way it is. Russell Westbrook cannot get the job done in crunch time by himself, and it seems as if there's no other option but to do it by himself. So there's your chalk there. Houston's going to get chalked up with Oklahoma City. The Clippers are in a do-or-die situation against Utah. Utah, up-and-coming, young core, promising core with Gobert and Hayward and George Hill coming back from the dead. Good Utah team, but not make it or break it. This Clipper team, first round playoff series against the Utah Jazz, make it or break it. Wouldn't be surprised if they chalked it up, although I had Utah win in the series. It can happen. And the Chicago Bulls team, look, I know Rondo's been there and done that, has a ring. I know Dwayne Wade has several rings. And I know Jimmy Butler is one of the premier players in all of the... Look, 3 of the 4 best players in that series could very well be on the Chicago Bulls roster. But it was just a couple of weeks ago, Celtics fans and even NBA fans that were kind of praising the Celtics after they took down the Cavaliers, not the time they got swept at the TD Garden, but the matchup prior to that, where it seemed as if the Celtics had some amazing formula to take down Cleveland in the potential Eastern Conference final tilt. Maybe Danny Ainge was a genius for not trading for Jimmy Butler or Carmelo Anthony or Blake Griffin at the deadline. Not that there were talks, but when you have a stockpile of potential number one picks in the future, because nobody who runs the Brooklyn Nets knows what the heck they're doing, there's always going to be discussion about a possible acquisition at the deadline. But don't count out the Boston Celtics just yet. I know a lot of people are saying this team isn't made of winners, isn't made of a B-plus, A-minus player alongside Thomas. Well, it wasn't long ago where that wasn't the case. So although the Bulls are in a great situation going back home to the United Center, a team that was full of dysfunction, full of negativity, is now a team that has a 2-0 series lead, first 8 seed over 1 seed to have such series lead in the history of the association. But don't count out the Celtics. This Bulls team, I'm not saying they can't do it. I mean, they certainly can now going home up 2-0. But this NBA playoffs could definitely be all chalk from here on out, as I projected before it got underway. NHL, completely different story. But nevertheless, it's sports, it's life, and there's plenty to cheer for, and there's plenty to be happy about. This was Drive Time. Nick Switala sitting in for Mike Miller. Thanks to all those who tuned in this afternoon / this evening, about 4 minutes away from the top of the hour. Have a great night. This is 106.5 The Ticket.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.